Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, has a heavyweight offer for this weekend's fight with 100-1 odds. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 when you bet on the main card fighter to win. That's code FANRUN in all caps. For a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right? But in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive, and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Draven Fine. For the next 3 hours, we will talk sports and other things as we get you to the weekend. It is Friday. Two thumbs up for Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Cam, how are you?
I'm good, but I did find out some disappointing information about my brother.
About your brother?
Yeah.
Which one?
Chandler, the middle one.
Okay, we don't talk about him much.
Yeah, we don't, but found out yesterday. I was just casually flipping the channels last night, and I happened upon the women's soccer semifinals. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll check this out for a bit. It was like North Carolina versus Santa Clara or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, huh, that one girl looks familiar. And the captain of North Carolina's soccer team was his former best friend. And I was like, holy cow. So like, she went to our high school, all that stuff. And so I was texting him. I was like, hey, do you still talk to this girl? She's doing big things. She's on national TV right now. And he goes, no, I forgot she was good at soccer. And I'm like, bro, you gotta secure the bag.
I don't know how much.
When you want to go to Europe with them, they go to Europe.
I don't know how much bag there's gonna be. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe is she elite?
I mean, she's a captain of North. If you don't know anything about women's soccer, North Carolina's like the powerhouse.
Well, yeah, but the captain's not always like the best player.
Yeah, but maybe she's just the glue girl. Good. Maybe, but I was just like, okay, you got a captain of North Carolina's soccer team here that you grew up with. She's probably gonna end up like going and playing Europe somewhere. I feel like you should have stuck with it a little bit.
Can't force love just for the hopes that she'll be a European soccer star.
It's true.
I guess.
Mm-hmm. It's a little harder.
Maybe he did try too. You don't know that he didn't try. Maybe he did put in the effort. She wasn't feeling him.
Maybe that's it.
It's tough.
Yeah, maybe he just couldn't admit that to you.
Maybe, hey, bro. But it was very shocking the flip on the TV. It was a surprise to turn on the TV, though, and be like, oh, wait, I know her.
Maybe he texted her last night.
Maybe I planted the seed back in there.
Saw you on the ACC Network, babe, looking good. Congrats on the win, or apologies for the tough loss.
They took an L.
Rough. Apologies for the tough L. Probably don't text after a loss.
Yeah. Nah,
probably not.
Not what I would do, but.
Keep your head up. You played great. Maybe hit her with that.
Yeah. Congrats on a good solid season. I don't know.
Your star is so bright, it is shining all the way down here in Louisiana.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
I miss you and hope the fans
watching
will.
The women's soccer game.
Yeah, you're getting left on red.
Reminded me how we used to kick it, too.
Yeah.
Hey, that's good. There you go.
Maybe I should have stuck with my goals and scored with you.
But you said they're just friends.
Yeah.
can't turn, you know, friends into lovers.
I don't know. I feel like your lover's supposed to also be your best friend. So
that's such a stupid saying. I hate that saying. Oh, you're supposed to marry your best friend. No, you're not. Okay? Your friends are your friends. Your wife is your wife. Let's stop that.
I think it's just saying that your wife is supposed to be a close person to you, a close friend.
Somebody you're cool to hang out with.
It's not about like going to marry your actual best friend. Like, who's your best friend now? Jeff? It's not telling you to go necessarily marry Jeff.
I get that, John. I get that. But it's just stupid. It's a stupid saying.
Well, you said your friends are your friend and your wife's your wife. It's just your friends are your friends, but the idea is that when you start dating someone, then they become your friends. Again, it's not telling you to go marry Jeff.
I understand that.
If you wanted to marry Jeff, it'd be fine.
Yeah, it's 2021.
It's 2021. We don't care. Like, if you and Jeff wanted to get married, it would maybe be a good wedding. It'd be a good marriage. You guys are best friends. You'd get along well. You know each other's quirks already. You spend a lot of time with your loved one. Mm. You need to be able to be friends. Probably good friends.
No.
Okay. I mean, I didn't create the saying. I didn't coin the phrase.
Everybody uses it, too. It's just so cliche. It's so cliche. My best friend. My lover. Like, it's always the same thing. It is.
Is it? I don't know.
None of us are married. We can't.
Yeah, I guess we don't have context here.
True, I guess.
None of us are even dating, really, so I don't know.
Well, speak for yourself.
Oh.
Let's hear about it.
I'm just kidding.
Your mom finally get the tanning girl bed to the tanning bed girl to call you back? Your mom go in there and reprimand her? Guilt her into at least one date?
I think she's went back. Hopefully she never does.
Just give him at least one dinner, and then mom will send you money for dinner.
I think that would be a win.
Is that? Mom forcing a girl to go on a date with you?
Mom also slides her $30. Then you guys fall in love, and then you find out months later that she only went out with you because your mom paid her.
Mm. Wow.
If only she would have been your best friend, too.
Yeah.
So then you'll have to...
Then I'll get mad and upset.
Have to get mad. It's like a rom-com in the making.
I was about to say.
I was just literally. A stupid bet. That's it. It happened basically all the time in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
She's all that. 10 things I hate about you. I'm sure there are others.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two that come to my mind.
It always works out, though, John. Mm-hmm. It always works out. They always realize.
You fall in love.
Yeah. Mm. Yep. Starts with something small and turns into love.
Yep.
It's crazy.
That's how it blossoms. Boom. How are you today, Draven?
Cam, I'm tired, man. I don't know. Mm. Just without school, I just stay up so late. I literally stay up till 3, 4 a.m., I just don't have a reason to get up. I do have my double shot espresso today, so hopefully be good throughout the show. But yeah, that's what I've realized since graduating school is if I don't have a reason to get up early, I've just been staying up super late.
Fair enough. It does kind of you do have to like get used to it a little bit.
How do you get out of that trend?
I'm a night owl. I'm not the person to ask. I'll be up the 3 a.m. regardless.
It's just been like every night since I've graduated. I'm just like I don't have again no reason to get up because of no school in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Have the show at noon, so you know I don't really have a reason to get up till before 10. So I'm usually up.
You need a hobby.
10:30.
Start working.
Maybe start running in the morning. Yeah. Is that the thing?
You're probably not gonna do that, but at least wake up and play a video game.
What do you mean not? What's that supposed to mean?
You said you've gone on two runs in 2 years. You're all of a sudden going to become a runner?
I do think that once you get in the trend of running, it becomes easier and easier, yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, why haven't
I think
yet?
Everybody knows that it's difficult to start getting into that.
Yeah, I'm just saying I think that's just if you're having – it's one thing if you want to get set up to try to exercise more, if that's your goal, but that's not your goal. Your goal is simply to find something that wakes you up in the morning.
Yeah,
waking up to do something you don't like is probably not going to be the thing that gets you out of bed.
You can try those things we talked about the other day, books. You talk about how you don't do that.
Nah, that's okay. I disagree with that, by the way. I think something that you hate, something that you know is going to kill you, but that feel good afterwards, after running, I think would be worth it. You'd be like, wow, I do feel better after getting out of bed and going for this run.
All right, we'll check in on you tomorrow. We'll see how it goes Saturday morning. We'll see how you do.
Okay.
Call you at 9 a.m. See if you're up and running.
All right.
Answer the phone.
I will. I'll be ready. he's not running tomorrow morning. Maybe a little bit of motivation, by the way. You know, maybe a little, hey, Draven, you can do it. Hey, Draven, you can go for that run and get in shape and get more, that summer bod.
If you need more motivation than your mom trying to set you up on a blind date and the girl getting one look at you and saying, never mind, ooh, I don't know what I can do to motivate you.
That's not necessarily how it worked, John.
Okay? I don't know what else I can do.
That's not necessarily how it worked.
To motivate you, if your mom happened to set you up on a blind date and her saying, ooh, no, he's gross, if that doesn't do the trick
never
for you, then you,
that it went that way.
Me trying to encourage you is going to do nothing.
Maybe she's intimidated by me. I don't know.
I'm assuming that wasn't it. Maybe, but I'm assuming it wasn't.
You never know.
I don't know. You are correct.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm making a safe assumption. I'm taking a leap of faith here. Mm. And saying that's not it.
She's just busy with work, John. That's why she wasn't responding.
She's just having a little sex, bro. She'll text you back.
Right, yeah. No big deal.
She'll call you back.
Right.
It's all good. As you can see, since no one wants to ask how I am today, I found my jersey.
I was getting there. I was about to say, you got the baseball.
Draven already told me I look good in it.
Looking good. Looking sharp, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
Getting excited?
I'm excited. It should be a good day.
Yeah. We even just got some baseball news, too.
We got some baseball news?
Yeah.
Oh, what was it?
They came out with the 20 potential regional spots.
Oh, so they haven't came out with the list yet?
No. This is, I guess, just these are the ones that I guess they're going to narrow down and pick from here. But
16 of these 20, so they listed 20, and they just got to pick 16, so like four is getting cut.
Yeah.
Seems kind of
I think that's... I would say that's good news for Tennessee, though. We'll cross-examine it. To steal a law term, look at me.
Ooh,
I'm the new law dog. We'll cross-examine it compared to like the top 20 right now in the rankings.
Yep.
Because I'd imagine it's probably going to be similar to that, and then I guess we'll see like who the bottom teams are after the time. But Tennessee is on the list of 16 of the 20 potential host sites, so that's good news for Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
I see Vanderbilt. I see Arkansas. Charlotte doesn't feel like they're a top 20 team, but we'll check out. I see Florida.
Maybe they just have a really nice stadium. I don't know.
South Carolina. Gonzaga? I didn't know they played any other sports besides basketball.
Yeah, they're ranked.
Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. We'll be back. All right, let's do a little cross-examination. It does appear that Charlotte is a top 20 team. Mm-hmm. So them making the top 20 list of potential predetermined sites, I guess, makes sense. Gonzaga, 22nd.
So they're kind of right outside 20.
So they're right outside there. Louisiana Tech, 14th.
Okay.
Louisville on the list.
Louisville
didn't bother to put their name on the list. They just said, forget it. That's a top 20 team that didn't get selected. Sucks for them. Oof. ECU make the list. I don't think they did either. Okay, so some of these top.
ECU's on there.
Oregon made it.
Yep.
Florida made it. Notre Dame made it. Texas Tech. The TCU on there. I didn't see
TCU is on there.
TCU's on there as well. Okay. Tennessee, Mississippi State, Vandy, Arkansas, Stanford. Was Stanford on there?
Stanford is on there.
Well, where the hell? Who else is getting left off? Arizona, are they on there?
Yes.
Are you sure Arizona's on there? Yeah, the first one. It's in alphabetical order. I just realized this. So no Louisville. No, there's Pittsburgh. Is there a Florida State? There's no Florida State.
Yep.
Short end of the stick. No Ole Miss?
No, Miss is on there.
Wait, it's not in alphabetical order. It's kind of in alphabetical order, but not really, right? Or they just put Mississippi instead of Ole Miss. That's what they did. They didn't go with Ole.
Oh, we're looking at different. Okay, we're looking at like different lists. So
yeah, I'm looking at different lists.
Mine was still in alphabetical order.
Southern Miss is on there. Well, it is in alphabetical order, but just I went with the O for Ole Miss, and they just went with the M for Mississippi. Okay. Just a classic mix-up.
Ole Miss, Florida
State. Okay. So.
Yeah, who got left off?
So Florida State got left off, and wasn't there another one? Louisville?
Yeah, Florida State and Louisville. And then.
And they got replaced by, I guess, Gonzaga and South Carolina. Okay. So those are your top 20 destinations. 16 of them will get the spot. I feel pretty comfortable at this point that Tennessee will be one of the top.
I think so.
16 places. The fact they kept it pretty true to their rankings makes me feel pretty good about Tennessee's chances because they'll be in the top 16.
Like you would think we would host over like Charlotte, right?
Well, I don't know. Charlotte's a pretty big city. I mean, the city of Charlotte's probably better than the city of Knoxville.
That's fair. Yeah, as far as capacity for stuff too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, like, you know, accommodations. I mean, Knoxville's not a small city by any means. Like, I think it'd be fine in terms of like hosting and accommodating hotels near the stadium and everything like that.
Yeah,
but I just mean like over Charlotte. The fact that they're number 20 in the country, I would say we get the edge over them. But if they're just going like over like the city,
yeah.
I don't know what their baseball facilities are like. It's not like Tennessee's are great by any means.
East Carolina.
So that's good news.
Yeah.
Feel comfortable about Tennessee getting a regional spot. We'll see, you know, about the super regional and all that. But, like, you know, one thing at a time. Big weekend of baseball on the docket, and Tennessee makes the cut for, like I said, the top 20 for 16 spots.
Let's go.
Arkansas, coming to town this weekend. Draven, is that your story of the day?
I'd say so, honestly.
Yeah?
I can feel the energy. It's just radiating off John's jersey.
Really is. Really is.
It does look
good. Makes me want to get one, to be honest.
Undershirt or no undershirt? I'll give you. I'll serve you both looks here in a bit. Okay. But here's the look I'm going with now. You see it?
Yeah.
I had to go upgrade and buy a new undershirt, like a new like white tee, because I don't really have any white tees.
The white looks good though. The white under it looks good.
Right now, back in the day, you would have not caught me ever without some white tees in the car ready to go.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Would have had some white tees always ready to go. Yup. But you know, it's been a while since I had to buy a white tee. I had like a couple undershirts from a wedding I went to one time, but they're like kind of like the Fruit of the Loom under white tees. So like. They don't really look good, like, when you have them, like, actually showing them out. It's more just, like, you know,
lounging. You don't like the Fruit of the Loom?
I mean, I like them. They're fine, but, like, they don't look good.
Just a white T-shirt still. I can't really tell that much of a difference.
If I go and put that white tee on versus this white tee, you will tell the difference. This is more of a T-shirt that's meant to wear out. The Hanes, Fruit of the Loom, those white tees are not meant to just wear, like, out in public. They're meant as undershirts. That's the difference, Draven. I'll go show you if you want.
I could really tell a difference.
You would be able to tell a difference, especially if you're wearing it. You would be able to tell a difference. Look, you didn't grow up in the era of them franchise boys, okay? You don't understand the white tee culture.
Right.
Yup. You don't understand. I do. Cam gets it.
I get it.
He grew up down there. He knows what's going on. So here's the look right now. Okay? Little air coming through. Keep it unbuttoned. Takes me back to the 90s. Cam gives it a thumbs up. Say it looks good.
Yeah.
I'll show you later the no undershirt, halfway buttoned up look. We'll see how that one goes.
So you wouldn't halfway kind of button up?
Well, yeah, I'm not just going to walk around with my shirt hanging out like I'm a...
Well, I mean, that's kind of what I pictured, honestly. I was like, he's really getting wild, I mean...
I mean, the more I sweat and drink at the game, who knows?
About to say, you know, out in the sun a little bit.
Yeah,
might have to. Look.
That's the problem. I feel like the shirt will help soak up some of the sweat.
Yeah,
and that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah, makes sense.
But shout out to Hound Dogs coming through clutch with the jersey. Arkansas coming to town. Tennessee and Arkansas are first and second in the SEC in RBI.
Okay. Ooh.
They bat in a lot of runs. I guess I can't make the leap that would be the two teams leading the league and just runs in general, but I imagine it's pretty close.
You would assume they'd be up there, man. Yeah.
I know that not every run scored is an RBI, so like, I mean, maybe it's, you know, maybe you can't make that leap in logic, but I'd imagine it's pretty close. but Arkansas goes yard a lot. Hit a lot of home runs. 79 of them. 14 more than Tennessee's, and I feel like Tennessee hits a lot of home runs.
Yeah, those bats swinging.
Arkansas is coming here to try to drop bombs. Arkansas, that's like kind of the difference than what, you know, Vanderbilt was a good offense too, don't get me wrong, but like Vanderbilt kind of killed Tennessee, death of a thousand cuts. They just hit a lot of, put the ball in play a lot. Mm-hmm. Hit a lot of singles, just put the ball in play, made Tennessee make, you know, fielding errors, whereas Arkansas likes kind of just coming and dropping bombs.
They are second in the nation in home runs so far this year.
But they do have some. They have the second in the nation.
Yep.
Who's number one?
Old Dominion.
Oh.
Surprisingly enough, they have 81. Arkansas has 79.
Well, hopefully they finish the weekend behind Old Dominion. Hopefully they don't pass Old Dominion. Where would 65 rank? Where does Tennessee rank?
I was about to say, they come in 26. At 11, actually. Yeah, so.
Okay, so Tennessee's still you know, a team that drops a lot of bombs, but yeah, the gap there between 2 and 11, it being 14, that's a pretty big gap. But Arkansas is going to bring a, you know, a pretty good pitching staff, not as good as Vanderbilt's, obviously, but, you know, their guy tonight, Patrick Wicklander, is a lefty that has maintained a sub-2 ERA all year. So, like, he is, you know, runs are still going to be at a premium. 58 strikeouts to just 14 walks. Ooh. This preview courtesy of Logan Quintan over on fanrunradio.com.
Seems like people are really excited for these games. People are ready.
Guys worry it's going to be a little too much hype, too much energy for the players, a lot of pressure.
Too much hype, too much energy? What are you talking about?
Just coming in against a big
team.
No such thing. Okay. Just a little overexcited. I'm just saying, full capacity. We got all the different stuff going on.
Too much energy. What's that mean?
I just say come out a little juiced up, you know? A little juiced up, too much.
I mean, I would say that it would play in Tennessee's favor. Now, Arkansas might come in and they might feed off that energy too. Like, I do think there are some teams, and I don't know, you know, what how Arkansas does or, you know, what they're made of mentally. I mean, they're the number one team in the country. I'd imagine they are going into a lot of these SEC venues. The thing is, it's been a, you know, pandemic, so I don't know, like, what the crowd's been like. I don't know how many times they've played in front of 100% capacity this year. But, you know, usually if you're an elite team, you kind of thrive off of shutting the crowd up. You like kind of going on the road, taking the show on the road.
Right.
So, like, it might, like, juice Arkansas up as well, playing in front of a sold-out crowd. I don't know, you know, what their last capacities have been at their last couple stadiums, though. But Tennessee going up against a pretty good pitcher tonight. Tennessee's going to scratch out some runs. You're going to have to hope that Chad Dallas is up to the challenge and pitches a good game. You got to hope that's the case.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Too much energy. Is that a defeatist mentality already from you, Draven?
No, it's not. I just think we literally go from like 20 to 100. Like, I mean, it's full capacity. It's, you know, we're doing the checkered Lindsey Nelson. We got potentially Peyton Manning out there slinging around. Like, it's just a lot. Like, we're really hyping this up, and I think that's fine. I think that's good. I just do worry, you know, for the player's standpoint, going from a little to 100, like I said, I think it's going to be a lot.
Now, I will say that Tennessee's been playing you know, pressure series all year pretty much. Like,
that is true.
They've been a top-ranked team for most of the year. Like, it's not like they are coming into this as, like, an underdog that hasn't played in a big series before. Like, the Vanderbilt game was in Knoxville. The Vanderbilt series was in Knoxville. That was pretty fun. And, you know, I would say the team thrived in that situation, at least on Saturday. Now, on Friday, they got beat, and on Sunday kind of fell apart, so you could say maybe the pressure got to them. But they at least had dealt with some of that. They've already played the number one team in the country in Knoxville before.
Yep.
This isn't like going from 3,000 people to 100,000 people.
It's true.
It's not like even, you know, over football, the football stadium, you know, going from 25,000 to 100,000. It's like going from what, like 1,000 to 4,000?
I think it's 4,000.
Yep.
Like, I don't even know, like, that Vanderbilt series seemed like they had let, almost 50% in. So, like, it's only, going to be, double.
Could make a difference, though.
Sure, but I'm saying the atmospheres are pretty rowdy, though. The atmospheres are already rowdy. But we'll see. We'll see. I will let you know on Monday. If Tennessee comes out and gets smashed and looks terrible and Arkansas sweeps them, I will say the pressure was too much. Mm-hmm. If Tennessee comes out and performs well, I will say the pressure motivated them. That's the thing about sports. Usually we can tell you what happens after what happens. We'll try to explain it.
Are you going to feel content? Like, I feel like us, getting beat 2-1 to Vandy in that series. I mean, we weren't devastated. We felt decent about it. Are you going to feel decent with a 2-1 loss in this series as well, only taking one of the three games? Or do you think that would be disappointing for this team, where we're at right now?
I mean, when the number one team's in the country, when the number one team's coming, you always just don't want to get swept. Now, winning the series would be great, especially with the SEC on the line.
I was going to say, we're the fourth team in the nation. I feel like we're at home. Like, we have every right to say we could win this series.
I think Tennessee's goal is to win the series. What I was going to say was that Vanderbilt was different because Vanderbilt had two just absolute monsters at the top of the rotation. Now, I did tell you that, Arkansas had this one guy, this lefty pitching tonight, Wicklander, who's had a sub-2 ERA. Like, he's an elite pitcher as well, but they only have one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's a path here to, where you could, scratch out two wins. You could win Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
You might not feel like you got the advantage tonight against this guy, but you could win Saturday and Sunday. Whereas against Vandy, you're like, okay, we got to beat Leiter and Rocker. That's going to be tough. That's the number two and number three pick in the draft.
Yeah, I think you do have to feel a little better about your matchups in this weekend for sure.
Like, if it's just going to be a slugfest, Tennessee's offense can score runs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They've been doing that all year. Yeah.
Now, Arkansas has been too. Like, don't get me wrong. Arkansas is going to mash, and I'm a little worried about Tennessee's pitching staff this series.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be upset if Tennessee drops the series 2-1 or 1-2, however you want to look at it. Getting swept would be bad, but, just win one of these games. That's my goal as a floor, pretty much.
Yeah.
At least do that. At least accomplish that. Be 1-1 going into Sunday, and I'll consider it a win. Is that too soft of me, Draven? Are you saying let's go for it?
I mean, that's fair, I guess. I don't know. I feel like we kind of said that against Vandy, and then Sunday we kind of fell apart.
Well, I don't think it came out that weekend feeling bad, though.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I was wondering. I wonder if the expectations for fans kind of has changed a little bit since then.
I don't – again, Vandy having the two stud pitchers made it tougher, but no, I don't think you're going to see very many fans upset if Tennessee wins one of these games. You're going to celebrate the one win. And you'll stay around the top six or seven, and you'll be in line to host a Super Regional. And, Tennessee expecting to win the SEC this any time is, I don't want to say far-fetched, but, the SEC is really, really tough. And we have, where we came from not too long ago, it's a tall task to win. Last year, let's just say you drop Crochet in on this team, the top 10 pitcher you got drafted, the big lefty with the White Sox. If you had him on this team, then I would say that, the expectations would be higher and that you could say, we could win the SEC because we got a top 10 pick as a pitcher. Tennessee doesn't have that right now. Tennessee doesn't really have the pitching to be in the position they're at right now.
They're overplaying their pitching.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing that they're the number 4 team in the country to me. I'm wrong on that, but
we talked about, they've been hitting super well this year.
And your ace went down. Helps. Yeah, and your ace went down before the year. You kind of had to move everybody up one spot. So, I don't want to say you're playing on with house money or anything like that. I think that's overstating it. But finishing the top 3 or 4 in the SEC is a huge accomplishment, especially, we're not that far removed from just struggling to try to make the SEC tournament to be one of the top 12 teams. But now that we're here, might as well go out and try to win as many games as possible. I'm pumped. Tennessee baseball, first pitch tonight, 6:30. At least on the ticket, it says 6:30. Peyton Manning throwing the first pitch. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Where do we rank this right now in terms of anticipation for a Tennessee sporting event?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Do you think – I don't think – I feel like it's a little more anticipated than, like, the football season opener will be. You think? Because, like, it's just, like, Bowling Green. I don't think that's really getting people – I mean, well, you obviously will be excited football's back, but – I don't know.
Football's still kind of king, though, right? Like,
yeah, no, it is. It is. I just think that like specific Green, game like, may not hit the same.
Is it fair for me to say, like, I would say people are still going to watch the Bowling Green game more than this baseball game, UT fans-wise? Like,
No. That's not
– Yeah, that's not –
That's not far-fetched at all. It'll draw more viewers.
Yeah.
I think there's just more Tennessee football fans and Tennessee now, baseball people keeping up as much.
That, viewers doesn't necessarily mean anticipation, though.
Yeah.
It's one of those things like where you're, you know, old man holding an umbrella over his wife as he's mad, facing the other way. Like, just because I'm mad doesn't mean I don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you'll have people line up to watch football just out of curiosity. But, like, no one's going to be, at least I'm not going to be champing at the bit Thursday before the Bowling Green game. I will not be in here wearing orange.
Trying to track down a jersey.
Yeah, I will not be ready to go in that regard. But I will watch because football matters more than baseball, obviously.
Yeah.
Football is kind of the lifeblood around here. And, you know, you have uncertainty and you love football and football's king and blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, I don't think viewership will reflect that baseball is anywhere near football. But, again, anticipation level. I feel like is there a buzz around the town? I mean, I got people coming up from out of town, like, wanting to go to the game.
Yeah, I think so. People keep talking about it from what like I've seen, just either on social media or even just like being out at like work and stuff. People mention it for sure. So I think people are excited about it. People ask about them, stuff like that. So
yeah,
I've never really seen that with Tennessee baseball since I've really been like up in this area. So
Twitter writes in, my level of give a bleep about Vol sports is so low now that I honestly don't know what anticipation feels like. There might be that, I guess, of just like where everyone's just kind of like, I've been sorry, baseball. It's a cool story, but I made the decision after Barnes and the boys got destroyed that I'm just checking out.
Can't blame them.
No, I don't blame them at all. I don't blame them at all. There is no shame in that.
Speaking of basketball, I was trying to think of this past year. Like, what was the most anticipated game in basketball this past season?
I mean, the most anticipated basketball game?
I just felt like every game. I mean, the Kentucky games. I guess. I mean, do we really get super excited about those games? Kentucky was bad.
Yeah, I don't think Kentucky would be the answer. That's a good question, Draven. Looking at the schedule, I mean.
Would it just be the tournament game just because you're like, we're going to the tournament?
I wasn't looking forward to the Oregon State game. I was looking ahead to maybe, you know, Oklahoma State or just seeing what this team, like curiosity what this team was going to be. Maybe just the first game of the year?
I was about to say.
Colorado?
Yeah.
Is that the answer?
Maybe. I hope not.
Just felt like they always had like a loss somewhere in there where it kind of killed the anticipation a little bit. Or like I said, like you had Kentucky who was down.
Yeah, who wasn't good. Yeah. I mean, the Colorado game I think had people excited simply because it was the first look at the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Missouri? First SEC game?
Maybe.
They were ranked, and that was the team that you thought you might have to beat. Like, that might be the second best team in the SEC.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the answer. Because, like, I don't know if people are really fired up for the Kansas game. You were 11 and 3 coming off of a two-game losing streak to Florida, Missouri, and then an ugly win against Mississippi State. So I don't know how excited people were for that
Kansas
game.
Kansas wasn't great either at the time, like ranking-wise. So
yeah, but it was still Kansas, and it was still a big national game. Yeah, like I think the answer might be either Alabama in the SEC tournament game because you had beaten Florida, you looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the answer right there.
That's one of the few games me and the boys got together to like watch in person.
Yeah, I think that's the answer right there because, like you said, we're coming off a big win and we thought we were going to go in there and get revenge and, have a shot to win the SEC tournament. So,
yeah. So maybe that or Missouri. Like the three I would say is Alabama SEC tournament, Missouri to start SEC play, or just the first game of the year against Colorado.
None of those sound too exciting when you kind of say it like that.
The Alabama game was fun.
Yeah.
The Alabama game was fun. Like, that was good until it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any regrets, really, of being excited for that one. Now, yeah. Obviously, it didn't work out for you.
And we had Fulkerson out, which was kind of tough, too, at that point, right? I mean.
Well, I mean, I remember feeling like that game wasn't going to be a big John Fulkerson game anyways. Because, I mean, like,
yeah,
you know,
I guess
you know
so.
That was a game where you could. You know, I even tweeted out that you would benefit from not having Fulkerson because you could play small.
But after the game, it felt like, man, we had Fulkerson, we probably could have closed that one out. Well, we could have put that one to bed.
It did because you played Oroche big minutes.
Right,
yeah.
And you had Devontae Gaines shooting free throws with the game on the line. Like, man. And, yeah, because of that, it did seem like, yeah, if you had Fulkerson, things would have been different. Yes, that is That is accurate. That is accurate. But, like, I didn't look at it before this game and be like, hey, this is a huge loss.
Yeah.
But yes. Yes, when you tell me Devontae Gaines is shooting free throws with the season on the line. You tell me Uroche is getting offensive defensive subs in, like... It did, yeah, it did feel like we could have used him.
That was a mess to watch down the stretch.
Yeah, that was talk about a frustrating game.
I mean, football last year, would football Georgia. Have anything? Georgia, yeah, I was pumped for Georgia.
I think Georgia was it, right?
Yeah,
I mean, after that,
yeah, it was
South choice. Carolina, sure, being the first game, but yeah, like Georgia, after Georgia, you didn't really give a damn about any of the games.
Yeah. Maybe the second half for Georgia, because after that first half, you're like, okay. Yeah.
Georgia, and then second half, Georgia. Yes, both of those
ended, but it was there. We were excited at halftime.
It did not go well. God, I was there.
Just to get another taste of that. Just sitting there in that, 15, 20 minutes, halftime break, 15 minutes or whatever. Just sitting there, fired up. Oh, man.
You were fired up. Pruitt
on
was
top
like,
of
well,
the world.
Well,
I'm every UT fan on top of the world, man.
I ain't expect to be here. Right? I don't know what to do in the second half.
That's one of your worst impressions.
I know.
You got to keep it real with
I know.
You.
I know.
You're usually
I
pretty
didn't know
good.
What I was doing with that one.
You're pretty good at impressions. That one was not strong.
Yeah, not at all.
That one was not strong.
Neither were we in the second half.
We weren't.
There you go.
We weren't. God, I was at that game, and it was so fun in the first half. We looked like a competent football team.
It's still so crazy to me how competent we looked in that first half and in the rest of the season. We were just a completely different team. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I mean, like, we didn't really do much in the first half to warrant being up, like in hindsight, obviously the flaws were there. Like you got lucky and hit. I mean, you didn't get lucky, but you took a shot on a one on one outside play, and Josh Palmer made a great play. You scored a touchdown.
Third round draft pick. It makes sense now.
It does. A snap over the head.
Yeah, a snap over the head gives you a touchdown. Like that was nice.
I don't know, man. That goal line stand was pretty awesome.
The goal line stand was awesome.
The goal line stand was literally that was awesome.
The goal line stand was awesome, but I'm just saying like.
Outside of that, yeah.
Offensively, you didn't do much.
Yeah.
And then you come out and turn the ball over like three times, three series in a row, it feels like.
Yeah.
Oof. And here we are.
I was about to say, what are we doing right now?
Well,
what
I'm just talking about anticipation.
A little trip down memory lane.
Well,
yay.
I still would like to know what the hell happened. Well, we kind of got an idea of what happened at halftime where coaches were rattled and confused as to how they were actually in the game. But, I mean, Garantano happened in the second half. The point was, like, no one really cared about the rest of the football season after that.
Yep. Yep, that was it for that.
That was the point. That was the point. I don't want to like take a turn to negative town. That's pointless.
Yeah,
that wasn't what I was trying to do. So let's just go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. The segment's brought to you by Kraft Axe Throwing. Use the promo code FANRUN for 15% off your booking. You can walk in, over on Fifth Avenue, minutes from downtown Knoxville. You can book online, craftaxethrowing.com. You can join their birthday club. You can sign up for the WATL, Atlantic Spring Regionals, in the Axe Throwing League. Craft Axe Throwing is a game that anyone can play and win. You score points by throwing axes at a giant dartboard-like target. The closer you get to the bullseye, the more points earned. It's a fun night out with the boys. Good date night activity. Promo code FANRUN, one word, 15% off. CraftAxeThrowing.com. What do we have last night in the I guess before we get to the NBA action, we'll get to that in hour two. Can one of you guys catch me up to speed exactly what happened with this NCAA Women's Golf Championship?
Oh, I saw someone now. I didn't really check into the details a ton.
Like, basically, it was supposed to be in Baton Rouge, and it was canceled because they said the course wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's essentially
what
happened.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't see this.
Mm-hmm. And but, yeah, instead of, like, moving it or anything, they just straight up canceled it.
Yeah, they just said it's over. NCAA committee representative Brad Holbert walked down the stairs at LSU's University Club and announced to players and coaches that the golf course was playable but was not championship-level playable because of rain and standing water. Therefore, the top six teams that were seeded will advance, along with the top three individuals that were not on those teams. So basically, if you were seeded the highest, you get to go through.
That's nuts.
To which, you know, if you're not seeded that high, you're like, oh, well, that's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
Our season's just over.
So they're not like, I'm sure there's outrage coming out of this, right?
Yeah,
oh, no, there's a lot of outrage.
They were mad. Yeah, they were mad.
And it's another, you know, now it's become another topic of conversation about how the NCAA mistreats women, you know, women tournaments.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you go back to the NCAA women's basketball tournament, obviously.
I mean, what was the reason for not just trying to postpone it? Just a tight schedule?
I guess we're on a tight schedule is what I would assume.
Well, I mean, they don't play, like, they're not playing the next round until May 21st. So I guess you could, like, been like, hey, yeah, we can move it up, I guess, to, like, it could have been this weekend, maybe, I guess, but I don't know.
A golfer, Christina Fildova, posted pictures of the course.
Mm-hmm.
No water on the greens. Looked even nicer yesterday when we couldn't play either. After 18 years of playing golf, I've never experienced anything like this. Now, one of the pictures, there is, like, just some water in, like, a little valley there. That's not a usual water hazard. Now, like, I don't know. Did the NCAA think, like, if they had played it, like, it wouldn't be fair or that they'd get roasted? Like, the women would be complaining about, like,
this course quality.
This course has water on it. This is unfair. Yeah. Like, do they think that was – they were trying to cover that up? Because this is obviously not the right alternative. This is not the right decision
to do. Yeah, I mean, if you would ask them, like, hey, do you either want to play with this adversity or get this canceled? What do you want
to
take?
Well, they were all screaming that they wanted to play, at least all the people that weren't going to advance.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Were willing to play.
No.
And, I mean – I don't know if unfair is the word because everybody would be dealing with the same conditions.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my thing there is.
Well, and that's always different in golf. Like, I mean, I don't know about the college level.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how big the fields are, but, like, I know in, like, the pros, I talk about this all the time. Like, when you are on the course, you might have, you know, drastically different conditions than the people coming either before you or after you. Like, look at last weekend with Bryson DeChambeau, King Bryson. He got off the course and thought, oh, I'm done. I'm going to miss a cut. And then all of a sudden, the winds just picked up out of nowhere, and everyone that was still on the course just had their scores plummet.
Yep.
It wasn't the same course for them as it was for him.
Mm-hmm. Weather changes.
Weather changes. That's the thing about it. It's crazy.
It's just a side effect of playing outdoors. So,
but the NCAA has found themselves in more hot water. People are upset about it. People are mad.
NCAA can't do anything right.
No, they really can't. They really can't.
It just makes it worse when it's like, it's playable, but it's not at a championship level. It's almost like, yeah, they could play, but we're just not going to fool with it. That's basically what it sounds like.
Yeah, that's the weird thing is like, yeah, they're saying it was playable, but.
Yeah, you should say, like, yeah, you don't want to.
Just say it's not playable. Thing. Just yeah, be like, yeah, we yeah. Can, no
Dude,
way.
There's
not happening.
Too much
like,
water. It's rained 7 inches the past few days.
They talked to the judges, the officials out there. Like, hey, we ain't trying to walk around that mud. Like,
that's what it looks
I got
like.
My good, I got my good clothes on. I'm not trying to go out there. Can we just cancel this? Can we cancel this, please? I mean, obviously people are upset. Justin Thomas, Michelle Wee went off on it about it. Golf Week, trying to get a hold of the NCAA committee representative Holbert. He is just hiding. It probably wasn't even his decision. I don't know.
Yeah. It sounds like he was making the call for the NCAA because he was like the committee representative, I guess it was there. So I feel like maybe they didn't have like, you know, full staff of the committee there, and he was the one there and ended up strolling down the course. It was like, yeah, this is my call, I guess.
So since he wouldn't speak, a woman had to go and answer for it. Julie Manning, chair of the NCAA Women's Golf Committee, she talked about it, said very difficult to ask these golf courses to give up the courses to commit further than we've asked of them. So basically said, like, that's why we can't postpone too far.
Yeah.
In the end, we did follow our procedure and our manual that was put together decades ago. Unfortunately, never thought that this would happen. It has not happened until this year.
I was going to ask that. I wonder if this has ever happened. So this is the first
time
happened. Ever.
Yeah, said it hasn't happened. Of course, Sarah Fuller weighed in.
Yes, of course.
Really don't have any words. I'm just sick of NCAA and how they treat us. These athletes deserve a chance to play.
She's not wrong.
I mean, she's not wrong. But can I be honest about something?
Yeah.
This might sound bad.
This is a safe space.
People might be like, oh, listen to this guy. The whole, the athletes deserve to play, that thing's blown out of proportion, right? Like,
oh, yeah, to an extent, yeah.
With the pandemic last year, everyone's up in arms of like the high school seniors not getting to play baseball. Losing a year of, like, you know, not getting to play baseball. Yeah. And we got these lady golfers upset that they didn't get a chance to play in this regional. They deserve a chance to play. Like, why? Why don't you deserve anything?
They've worked their asses off for this.
Go play golf anytime they want.
They want the recognition, though.
Barstool's giving them a tournament. Some course in Arizona stepped up and said they'll host like all these people that didn't get to play, and Barstool's like putting it
legit,
on. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, like, maybe Barstool might give them a cash prize. Who knows? Like, they might actually get something
again,
better.
Is that really? That's not legit, though. It's like, that's a make something made up.
This whole thing's made up. The NCAA is made up.
Yeah, and all, it sounds like
we deserve a chance to play. Sorry, sometimes life isn't fair.
And the ones that aren't getting to play should have been ranked higher during the year.
Little Jimmy didn't get to play baseball this year. I'm sorry.
What
for
if
Jimmy.
They did this for like
it's a
football?
Pandemic, bro.
What if they did this for football?
They would.
They said the field, the conditions were too bad. Like, people would be outraged if they canceled a football
game.
They
did it for basketball.
Game.
They did it for basketball. Hey, no SEC tournament, no NCAA tournament. Sorry,
people were
sorry. Obi Toppin, you and Dayton, you're not going to chase a championship. See ya. It happens. Now, I'm not saying that I agree in this scenario, like, of, you know, they should have let them play on the course because the course seemed playable, but, like, Sarah Fuller saying they deserve a chance to play, it's so overblown.
I mean,
your life's not going to change because you played in the golf regional.
Obi Toppin is such a horrible example.
You'll be fine. Just continue with your life.
This
it's
is
a
it,
golf
though.
Regional.
Read what they said. They said this is it for the seniors.
That's
it's
fine.
It's an abrupt end.
Sometimes,
they've been doing this all 4 years, and they think, finally, we make it to this tournament. We have a chance to go in advance.
Exactly.
And then they get it taken away from them.
You're welcome.
Obi Toppin has the NBA to look forward to. These athletes, most of them,
well,
majority of them,
on,
have the NBA, NFL, something.
Dayton fans didn't. What about the fans? What about Dayton's players?
Who cares about the fans?
Ah.
These are the players we're talking about.
You're welcome. You're welcome, golf team that didn't win. You can always tell your kids you would have won had you not gotten screwed. Instead of actually losing and having to own up to the loss, you'll get to blame the NCAA forever. Just like little Timmy down the road at the high school who didn't get a chance to go to state to win state in baseball. You could have done it, Timmy. You could have been a major league pitcher had you gotten that opportunity. You were robbed by the man in circumstance. Politics kept you out of the league. Tell as old as time. I'm just sick of it. They deserve a chance to play. Sometimes life ain't fair. They deserve a chance to figure that out, too. Their life's going to be okay just because they didn't get to play in this little regional tournament. I'm sorry, it is. Hour one in the books, hour two on deck. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.